bouncing a couple places tonight, but I want to talk tonight about an important part of Christianity and the walk therein. Proverbs chapter number 4. When you find it, go ahead and stand. Look at verse 20. Proverbs 4:20 says, "My son, attend to my words, incline thine ear unto my sayings. Let them not depart from thine eyes, keep them in the midst of thine heart. For they are life unto those that find them, and health to all their flesh. Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Put away from thee a froward mouth, and perverse lips put far from thee. Let thine eye look right on, and let thine eyelids look straight before thee. Ponder the path of thy feet, and let all thy ways be established. Turn not to the right hand, nor to the left. Remove thy foot from evil." Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for bringing us together, Lord, and just to hear your word. Lord, I pray that you would be with us, God. Lord, comfort us, hold us, allow us just to remove ourselves from the worries of the week, the days to come, the days past. Just be focused, Lord, on your word with you. We ask in your name. Amen. Be seated. You're driving along the highway. You're going 80 miles an hour, as any good Texan does. Sign says 75, you go 80. Let's say we're law-abiding citizens, so you're going 80 miles an hour. You're going 75. And you're doing everything right. You're yielding at corners that you don't know what's around the corner of it. You're obeying warning signs. You're slowing down for work zones, which are continuous. You're obeying every rule of the road. But then as you're driving, you get about 3 hours into your long journey, and a little Christmas light comes on your dash. Check engine. Isn't that a pretty one? Most of you have seen that light. Those of you who haven't, just wait your turn. There's nothing more enjoyable, and this is sarcasm, than leaving on a long journey just to find out there's a check engine light. Man, things are going through your brain. What's happening? What's going on? Is the engine okay? Check. We're not on fire. Okay. The car's still going, so obviously there's nothing wrong with it, but it's saying there is. So like any good citizen, you ignore it. You keep driving. It's just a check engine. It could be anything. Could be anything. You start to your journey further down the road, still abiding by the rules and blatantly ignoring the little Christmas light. And then a friend appears. Check gauges. Man, I just took this thing to the shop. I just got the approval that it's going to be okay. The gauges look fine. And some of them are doing like this, but it's okay. We're still going. Then you begin to hear the sound. So what I love about most check engine lights is they're first a light with one little ting. But then as you get closer to it being worser, it goes ting, ting, ting. And it gets to really say, hey, we should pay attention to this. But that's just adding to your jam as you drive down the road. So you leave it alone. You keep going. Now you got two lights. And then all of a sudden, that tinging sound is accompanied by the brass section. Oh, no. And then the percussion gets in with a thump, 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 thump. And you pull over, upset that your car is broken. You walk out. And you see, there's smoke coming from your hood. Oh, man. For those of you who understand mechanicking, those are usually classic signs of something that was meant to have fluid doesn't have fluid anymore inside of it. In this case, it just happens to be your oil pan. Hence the thumping. And now you're driving around with no oil because you had a leak somewhere. But it's not enough to have an oil leak. Then you take it to the next town in the shop. And because your heat got a little out of control, it began to eat through other issues. And it started out as just a small oil leak. But by the time you kept ignoring it, it turned into a busted water pipe, a destroyed radiator, and, oh joy, potentially your head gasket could be blown. Isn't that annoying? It's okay to say yes. If it's not annoying, man, I want your car, because it's annoying for my car. And you try to think about this. What happened? Where did it go wrong? What was the issue? Was the issue your mind begins to race? For those of you who have older model cars, you understand the words preemptive maintenance. For those of you who've driven older cars, you understand the words TLC, or the acronym TLC, tender loving care. When you look at vehicles that have a higher mileage, there's more involved in maintaining them, and there's more maintenance to be done on them. And if you ignore that maintenance, you end up with problems that now require fixing. The preemptive maintenance in vehicles is so often ignored. Enough to where by the time it gets into the mechanic shop, what could have been an easy fix is now going to be, you should probably get a rental for a week or two. If you live here, a month or three. All because we didn't do the preemptive maintenance, and more importantly, we began to ignore the warning signs of something bad is going to happen. And so often we see a Christian and how they live their life. They live it to the understanding that they are good, which is fine. But you have to understand, as Christians live our lives, and as we go on in a world we don't belong in, we have issues that arrive that affect us, that affect our spirit, that affect our walk with God. And we have things that come our way that are designed by Satan to keep us from God, to keep us away from Him. In temptations, in trials, in testings, in all kinds of traps He lays. And they're designed to keep you away from God. And so often we find Christians on the side of the road, broken, because they forgot to do the preemptive maintenance. And they ignored the warning signs of an unhealthy spiritual life. When we look here and inside of Proverbs, we're going to be bouncing over to James and then to Corinthians, and then we're going to be just talking about the importance of routine maintenance in the life of a Christian. Everyone knows about big problems. Everyone knows about the big headlines of so-and-so got this, so-and-so obtained this, so-and-so had this happen to them. Everyone understands the big sins, the big falls, the big temptations. We all get those, and we prepare for them, but we don't prepare for them in a way of doing small things in preparation for the big things. We look at folks who talk about, well, I would never do this. Man, you'd be amazed the small little things that gets you to where you, wait a second, this is actually possible. This could actually happen. We look at marriages that just fall apart overnight. No, they did not. They were smaller things that happened. They were things in the making. We look at people finding their lives wrapped up in addiction. Man, that started with habits being formed. We look at people finding themselves unhappy, finding themselves dissatisfied, asking themselves, where is God? Why don't we have a sweet fellowship? Someone once said, the tallest building is still built brick by brick. The tallest, strongest wall is still built layer by layer. And we admire the big creations of life. We admire the big monuments. But we often forget how many small details went into crafting that. Verse 20 says, my son, attend unto my words. This is a father figure saying to their child, listen, listen up, this is important. I need you to be all here. Attend unto my words. In fact, verse 21 says, let them not depart from thine eyes. Keep them in the midst of thine heart. Keep them close, because they are life to those that find them and health to all their flesh. And then he says something that's so applicable to Christians. It says, keep thy heart with all diligence. In the essence, guard it with all diligence. Keep it safe. Keep it locked down, per se. Because out of it are the issues, the circumstances, the walks, the outgoings of life. I enjoy coffee. And if you don't know me, you should understand I enjoy coffee beyond belief. Water is okay, but man, you put little beans inside of it, and you superheat them, and then you drink. That's so good. Coffee is a great thing. Someone once told me when we were talking about leadership and how that affects your life. If you're walking around with a cup of coffee and someone bumps into you, what spills? Coffee. Well, this is a dumb illustration. Sure, it's the coffee that spills. But what if you walk around with tea? What spills? Well, it's the tea that spills. That's correct. It doesn't matter who's walking around. What matters is what's in the cup. Whatever is in that cup will spill when you get bumped into. Well, what does that mean? We forget that our life is internal. We live it quite externally. But when the external self is rattled, when your circumstances change, it's what's inside that spills over. It's what we keep inside of our heart that outflows, that outgoes. He's saying, keep your heart with all diligence, because when life happens, when circumstances change, those are the outflowings. Those are the issues of life. We see that the Christians who find themselves in big trouble started out flirting with small trouble. We see Christians who find themselves in like the top of the sin bracket, per se. It's amazing how he categorized things, isn't it? Well, that's a big sin. Nah, that's sin. That's a small sin. No, that's sin. You ever told a white lie? I haven't. I just tell lies. I've yet to figure out how to tell a half-truth. We see that the life issues are what spill out when we get rattled. I want you to bounce over to 1 Corinthians chapter 9. 1 Corinthians, chapter number 9. Look in verse 27. You know what? Look in verse 25. Paul's talking here about an illustration of running and of being active in the Christian life and of keeping yourself under submission. And he says, and every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate in all things. Now they that do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible crown. I therefore so run, not as uncertainly, so fight I, not as one that beateth the earth. There's intentionality involved. But I keep my body under my body and bring it into submission. Why? Lest that by any means when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway. We find Paul here saying there's an importance in maintaining one's physical self. And there's entire cultures who spend their literal years of their life maintaining a physical presence. I'm amazed at the athletes. I'm amazed at the... Let's just keep calling them athletes. People who, like, I don't call golf a sport, but I admire the mental fortitude. But we look here and we see athletes who spend days of their life, years of their life, hours of their days doing something that not a fan. Couldn't do it. They go through crazy dietal changes. They go through insane transformations all to win a shiny gold puck attached to a string. You can buy those. That's what I do. I have a shelf. I don't. What's amazing to me is that people spend their entire lives dedicated to obtaining small trinkets and small trophies. And Paul picks up on that and he says, but we have something bigger we're striving for. We have something better we're striving for than a corruptible, a crown that will be destroyed and will burn with fire this earth. And we're looking for something that is going to be incorruptible. And because we are looking for a higher purpose, because we are striving for a greater goal, shouldn't we strive more than those that dedicate their lives to chasing after achievements? You know, I'm not super big into the gym life. Some of you are great. Not my thing. I'll go. I'll enjoy it. But I enjoy food way more. I mean, I can't wait for heaven. No weight gain. Food with Jesus? Man, I bet he's got great taste. Can't wait. But if you enjoy food like I do, you find your body will go through changes. You gotta curb some of your appetite, literally, if you're gonna not die from type 2 diabetes. And I find that there are times I'm like, man, that looks delicious. But I can't afford to buy a whole new wardrobe. So I'm gonna not eat that. And that's actually how I think about it. I'm like, man, that looks amazing. But I can't afford any more pants and shirts. I got the sizes I need. I'm going to stay where I'm at. But if you're not careful, if you're not careful and you ignore the warning signs, man, you'll find yourself shopping faster than you can turn your head around. Because the pants you have, my goal right now, is to get the mic to stay in my tie. My goal right now is to not outgrow my wedding suit. I still fit in it. That's my goal. Oh, thank you for the applause. Appreciate that. That's my goal right now. But if I'm not careful, I'll find myself on the opposite side of that waistline. And I'll find myself wondering, how am I going to get back to that? It's a whole lot harder to lose weight than it is to gain weight. Really is a whole lot less fun, too. But we see here in Paul's illustration, he's saying we have to keep ourselves under submission if we are to run worthy, if we are to walk, as Ephesians says, to walk worthy of the vocation we are called unto. Why is that? Because we have such a great calling in our life. We have such a grand purpose. And as Christians, we so often are looking for the big things in life that we miss what Paul was talking about. He's not talking about, hey, if you find yourself really, really close to this huge sin, you need to back off. And he's saying, don't even get close to it. He's not saying if you find yourself really, really close to this horrible action. No, he's saying I keep my body under submission and I do it intentionally. I do it purposefully. The illustration is for the body because of the context, but so often that's for our mental state. We have this idea that we just put our life on coast. You ever coasted in your brain? It's a scary thing. We talk about there's an old book called Every Man's Battle. And one of the biggest highlights is being intentional in your thought life. There's conversations you need to avoid. There's places you need to stay away from. But we find ourselves walking in a world that would like nothing better than for us to put ourselves on coast and just go with the ebb and flow, ignoring the warning signs that come your way. That brings us to the next subpoint. The warning signs. Who's warning us? The Holy Spirit is. He's our guide through life. And there's times where He says, hey, we shouldn't be here. Hey, we shouldn't do that. Hey, that person, they're bad news. Stay away from them. Gotta be careful here. Gotta avoid that. But a lot like a check engine light, we just kind of, we're okay. This is fine. Everything's okay. Flip over to James, chapter number 2. James, chapter 2. Look forward to fighting this thing off, whatever it is. In James 2, we find in verse 22, it says, but be ye, sorry, James 1, back up. James 1, verse 22, but be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if any of you be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is likened to a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholdeth himself and goeth his way and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. A doer of the word, not just a hearer, because the warning signs are there. Can I tell you that? The warning signs are there. No one goes through life walking with God, dwelling in His presence, and embodied by His Spirit. No one walks through life without seeing warning signs of sin. That's not who God is. No, He's a God of transparency. He's a God of warning. He's a God that says, you need to walk this way, you need to avoid that, you need to shun this. I like it inside of Proverbs, our first text. It clearly doesn't just stop with, you know, guard your heart. It says, hey, put away from thee a froward mouth. Well, you know, the Bible's just not very specific. Are you kidding me? And perverse lips put far from thee. Let thine eyes look right on and thine eyelids look straight before thee. You know, it's God really doesn't care what we intake. It's what we dwell on He cares about. Really. Really, ponder the path of thy feet, and let all the ways be established. That's some pretty specific instructions that God gives us. We see here, this is known as the true test of obedience in James and how he lays it out. And we find that this text is saying that there is such a thing as a person who sees God's word for what it is, understands that there is need of change. He has a perfect view of himself, and he decides, I don't like it. I'm going to walk away. I don't like check engine lights, but I have to go. I'm compelled to go find out, why are you screaming at me? I don't like it when my tire pressure goes low, but I have to take care of it before I hop on the highway. I don't like routine maintenance of myself. I don't like physically denying myself what I want. I don't like telling my spirit yes, while at the same time denying my flesh what it so desires. I don't like it. It's because I'm human. But I know it's good for me. One of the many things about life we find is that things that are important aren't fun. Doctor's visits, they're important. I would overtake a small country before having to go to back-to-back doctor visits. You know what's going to happen in like 20, 30 years? Back-to-back doctor visits. Why? Because we're humans. We break down. Any witnesses? No. We have issues. I would rather spend my life doing what I want to do. I'd rather spend my life doing it my way, my will, than having to sit here and submit myself to the Word of God and say, no, I need to do this because thus saith the Lord. It's a hard choice to make. For those of you who maybe enjoy chess, that's the word. There's a book called Chestnut Checkers. It's a good book. You should read it. It's essentially this dividing understanding that if you live your life, you cannot live it by reacting to everything around you. You have to plan ahead and plan a couple moves ahead if you're going to live a life that doesn't change every single day. When we see the way God has laid our life out, our life isn't a pinball. Our life isn't this mentality of, well, I'm going to go this direction, but then that's not going to happen, so I'll be bounced that way and use. Life isn't submission to life, it's submission to Christ. When we see the passage in James, we understand that, oh, it's just talking about, you know, sin in your life, and that's preemptive maintenance, is the sin you have in your life. The Holy Spirit in you, when you have an honest talk with God, He has no problem showing you what is keeping Him and you from having perfect fellowship. Don't try this at home, those of you who are married. But if you ask your spouse what's wrong, she or he may answer. Be careful. Well, what's wrong, dear? You know exactly what's wrong. Man, I shouldn't have asked. It's me, isn't it? Yes, it's you. If you go to your boss and you say, hey, give me some feedback, they might. Well, if you hate the feedback they give you, whose fault is that? Those mean bosses. They pay your bills. Someone once said that a man wants to know how much people like him, but will never dare to wonder who hates him. Why? We like being liked. We like being adored. We like this idea that everything is perfect and I am okay. When we look at our life with Christ, we say, Lord, you know, God, let's be honest together. I'll be honest with you. How about that, God? What's keeping us from fellowship? Man, the Lord will say, this in your life, that in your life, this in your life. Well, you know what? That's a lot. I'm good. We're just going to ignore those. We're fine, God. We ignore those lights. We ignore those check engine, check gauges. I would kind of like to see a car update where they're like one of those digital scrolling. And it's like, hey, Dumbo, your car is out of oil. This is your final warning. For I will break. Oh. Love one of those. Because I want to see people's reactions. If a tire busts, you have to change it. Yeah, but that's a big problem. For those of you who work around commercial vehicles, every day you do a pre-check before you do anything with that vehicle. Why? Well, one, this is the honest truth. If it's busted, you don't want to get blamed for it. So that's the first reason. And reason number two is it needs to be fixed before it gets taken out on a job or on the field or whatever. When we drove buses in Oklahoma City, every day, pre-check. Every end of trip, post-check. Why? Because you don't want to break down in the middle of nowhere with 20 kids in the back of the bus. It's not fun. That's a nightmare. Well, it says here that, you know, the person who drove it last, they said small leak in left tire will be okay. Well, when you find yourself on the side of the road, don't blame so-and-so. We see Christians who ignore the warning signs the Spirit gives them, saying, hey, you have this in your life. It's going to continue to divide us. It's going to continue to build that wall between you and Christ. And you say, no, it's okay. We're going to ignore that because that's my will. That's my desire. And we're just going to keep going the way we're going to go. And where'd God go? How could he leave me? But be doers of the word, not simply hearers. When you look at preemptive maintenance in your life, it has to be met with two things. Number one is honest critique. And that's a hard thing. Honest critique. And number two, action has to be taken. If we're going to take the time to walk around, this is something I do in the morning time before I drive to work. Why? Because I want to get to work, because it pays my bills. I walk around my car. Why? If the left tire's gone, I'm not going very far. So I walk around my car. Well, that's you're weird. Well, I'm sorry. If the driver's side window is bashed in, calling my insurance agent, taking care of that. When I go to a doctor's visit and they say, you should watch your blood pressure. What do doctors know? Well, some don't know a lot, but most of them know stuff. If you see your life beginning to have health issues and you ignore those, you're going to wind up in a world of hurt. Our spiritual life is no different. We are affected by things around us. We are infected by things within us. And we find ourselves ignoring that pain, ignoring those issues because, man, I don't want to deal with it right now. Those were unimportant. Lord, we're good till it's right here. And it's taken over your life. Man, that's a big sin. That's a big sin. That's not going to get me. Tallest buildings in the world started out piece by piece being put together. I don't remember who it was. I believe it was one of the wartime generals, World War II. And he said, men aren't born. Males are. He said, men aren't born, they're made. Piece by piece, character by character, discipline by discipline. And he says, great men are manufactured by great men. It's a process of iron sharpening iron. It's a process of people challenging you. It's a process of someone telling you, hey, this thing in your life you do, you need to stop it. It's going to hurt you. I love the Psalms say, faithful are the wounds of a friend. Faithful are the wounds of a friend. Why? Because someone who loves you enough to say, you need to cut that out, it's going to hurt you. Someone who loves you enough to say, hey, this thing that you really enjoy doing is taking up too much of your time and you're wasting your life. That's a good friend. That's a good mentor, a good buddy. We go through life with warning signs, with preemptive maintenance checks, with routine maintenance checks. We go through life and we can choose to ignore any of that. We can choose to not put any work into our spiritual growth whatsoever. We can choose to spend our lives being like, you know what? I know I'm saved. I'm going to heaven and I can do what I want now. That's a terrifying idea. That is a rebellious idea. Well, you know, Christ died for my sins and he'll forgive me, so it's okay. Blood atonement Oh, what remission, and now I can sin with Jesus' permission. And no. Keep thine heart with all diligence. Why? Because the contents matters. Those who work at a bank, they want to cover your ears. When you go to your bank, there are people with firearms walking around, employed by the bank. And regardless of how charming and nice you are, the moment you get too close to that vault, there will be repercussions. Why? They care about what's in the vault. But there are Christians who live their lives vault open, influence. Come on. What do you got? What flavor is this? Sweet, let's do it. We find Christians who live their life as a non-guarded bank. Is what inside not valuable? It's still valuable, but it's not valuable by the ones in charge of taking care of it. Young men, young women, you have value given to you by God that needs to be protected. Middle-aged people, you have value. Older people, you have value. Why? Because you are a child of the King. You are a my son. Attend unto my words. Incline thine ear unto my sayings. Why? Why would you say this, Lord? Because I value what and who you are. And there are things that I have done for you, to you, and in you that people would like nothing better than to ransack. I'm reminded by Daniel and his story. Young man, best of the best, literally stolen away because and chosen because he was good at what he did. He was a choice among young men. And when Babylon went down and they raided, they grabbed the best of the best of the people, the best young women, the best young men, to take their high value and their highly talented lives and warp them for their own purpose. That's what nations did. Man, our nation needs some riches. Cool, they have riches. Let's go get theirs. That's what they did. The devil would like nothing better than to walk into your life and take everything of value and destroy it and taint it and ruin it and leave you like a robbed bank. The walls are still there. And the vault's still there. But there was no one guarding it. Keep thine heart with all diligence. People who take care of banks, they do routine checks. They do security evaluations. They do special trainings. They learn about the new lock system. They change up their route. They change up what they do. Why? What they're guarding is worth some value. Why do you work on your car? Well, I paid for it. It's worth something to me. Doesn't matter how much you paid for it. It's yours. Why do I walk around my house and be like, gotta fix this, fix that, fix this? Why? I am invested into it. I want it to be there as long as I am or farther. Right now, I'm currently fighting a battle with ants. That's what my life become. I'm a homeowner who fights ants. They have decided to make their home, my home, their home, and I'm not happy about it. So we're kicking them to the curb, literally. Why? I care about my home. Why do you spend your life dedicated to an archaic religion? Man, you don't know the relationship in Christ that I do. Three questions, then we're done. Routine maintenance. How's your prayer life? You know, it's awkward praying, just closing your eyes. How's your prayer life? How's your battle with temptation? Well, the flesh wants what it wants. Yeah. And the heart's despicable beyond all measure. And how's your Bible time? We spend our life focused on our hair, on our skin, on how much moisture, on how little moisture, on the balance of our blah, 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 blah. We spend our lives so consumed with making sure this survives while letting our spirit rot with no nutrition, no cleansing, no investment that is needed. And we wonder why we have a hard time reaching God. We wonder why we have a hard time talking with God. How's your routine maintenance? How many lights do you have on your dashboard? And at what point are you just going to collapse spiritually? We're on life's journey. How's your dashboard look? Heavenly Father, bless us today. Lord, I pray that you would just be with us, God. God, help us to go forward, Lord, and just renew our walk with you. Renew our time. God, dwell among us, Lord, and show us our issues of life that we need to maintain. Help us, God. Ask in your name.